All right, are you ready for the word of the Lord? All right, let's go. I've got something to show you today. In fact, I was just walking through my house yesterday. Listen, when God speaks to you and gives you a word, you can always, when it's from him, you can always remember where you were and what you were doing when he speaks that word to you. And I was just walking down my hallway, and I heard this most simplistic word and come to me, but how could you ever use the word simplistic when God is in it? It's powerful, and I thank him for the gentleness of it, because it could have been a very rough word, but I know that it's a timely word. Also, while I'm trying to get my iPad on, I want to say it's so good to have Miss Larissa and Jeannie back with us this week. God bless you, ladies. Good to see you. Welcome them again, along with all of our guests. All right. I know that your hearts are broken as well as mine for the horrible disasters we've been seeing on TV with that horrible hurricane, Helene, and the devastation that that storm has brought. This morning, I was thinking, you know, we see everything on TV, and one lady said that there was a wall of water about 30 feet high. Of course, we've seen that. I mean, it goes up above the roofs, even on downtown Asheville, North Carolina, and many of those places, many cities just wiped out. And I was thinking of those poor people sitting outside their homes, and yet the Fox did show, or the news broadcasters, it's all over, weather channels, showing these people who were sitting in their homes, still able to sit on their furniture, and yet the furniture was floating. They were sitting on the couch, they were sitting on chairs, and grabbing a hold of trees and rocks, and floating. And I'm thinking, what do you do? You know, we say, everything we have is gone. No, everything they have is gone. I mean, not just their home, but everything in the home. Some of them, their families are gone as well. Their livelihood. How many people also lost their city, the entire town? The hospital. They have nowhere to go buy groceries. They don't have any money to buy groceries. It's all wet. They can't go to the doctor. There's no doctors. And the clothes they have on are soaked. Their shoes, they said there's mud 6 inches deep. So I know that Miss Rose came from Katrina and it was bad, but this is so devastating. I mean, muddy shoes, muddy socks, muddy feet. And I was thinking this morning, I feel so selfish. Here we are sitting in a beautiful church with dry clothes and food to eat and probably thinking about where you're going to eat when you go home and take a nap, you know, wherever you want to in your beautiful home. And I'm thinking, where did they sleep last night? Where did they sleep a couple of nights? There was water all over. They couldn't even sleep. I mean, they couldn't lean up against their home. Their home wasn't there. They said there's rats all over the place. Church, we got to be praying. And the set, and I know you are. I know we are. I know God's people. We love him, and we pray. And we pray for each other. And thank God for Franklin Graham. I forgot to tell Art to mention that this morning, but we've already put money out to Franklin Graham and Red Cross and the ministries that are going in. And thank God for those local churches. Now, you can't give to everybody because you don't really know who's really using it for that order. But the churches are going, and a lot of the first responders are there, but they're coming in on helicopters. I heard that they were using pack mules to take insulin in and some meds and some things that people might need, and water. But it's just the saddest thing. And as I was thinking along those lines and seeing everything that was so devastating, I don't say this in a condemning way, but you've got to know, we heard these testimonies. They were warning them that this could be devastating. It could be life-threatening. Now you need to evacuate. Get out of this area. It's a low area. Get out. Go. Go now. Find yourself. Go gas up. Get to a friend's house or relative's home. Go out of town. But get out of here. And many of them stayed. And you know what they said on TV? we've heard this before. You know, we've been through many storms in this area. We know, you know, the news reporters, they all jump on it. They over-exaggerate how bad it's going to be. So we're going to stay. One governor said, and he highly suggested this in his warning, he said, you need to get a permanent marker and write your name on your leg or on your arm or on your forehead. Write your name, because many are going to die in the water. Did you see that blue casket floating down the stream? It's just so sad. I know you saw that too, Rose. Many caskets in Louisiana floating down. And yet, many ignored. Many just got caught in it. You know, they had no choice. They couldn't run. They had nowhere to go. But can I just tell you, with all that, the Holy Spirit sees it too. But we are also, we've been warned. We've been warned and warned and warned and warned in the Bible about the last days. We've been warned. Many, many years. And what do many of the saints say? We've heard this all of our life. And the Bible said we would. The Bible says in Matthew, in about three different gospels, he mentions that there would be mockers in the last day. And Timothy said it too. That would say, oh, we've heard that ever since our grandpa was here. And he said, God is not slack concerning his promise. Now, he might take a while, but he is never slack. If God says it's going to happen, listen, just write it down in the front of your Bible. It's going to happen. If he said it, if the Bible says it, oh, it'll happen. Maybe years down the road, like Daniel's prophecies, but they are coming. Now, Timothy did tell us in chapter 3. You need to get 2 Timothy chapter 3 in your heart. I'm not going to turn there, but you need to get it in your heart. First thing he says there in chapter 3, verse 1, is in the last days, this know also, there will be perilous. What? Perilous what? Times. There's going to be perilous times. And that means very dangerous times. Risky times, times where you just don't know where to turn or what to do. These days are full of danger. It means perilous. We are living in perilous times in the 21st century. Now, it sounds to me, and I believe it'll sound to you, just like the Lord said to show you, Romans, go to the book of Romans. Sounds like this. You should have it marked in your Bible. I've shown you this portion of scripture a few times. But I'm not going to make my whole message here, but I will remind you of this scripture in Romans chapter 8. Maybe some of you have never seen this in your life. But here's what's happening. It's almost like the earth is just convulsing. It's just a mess. It's just one thing here is like whack-a-mole. As soon as you've got this earthquake, you've got this hurricane, you've got this storm, you've got this homeless condition. You have political upheaval. Economic is booming, but what's going to happen, okay? So we just really don't know. But let's look at Romans chapter 8. Let me start at verse 18. I really shouldn't read this much, but I'm going to. Look, let me lay this foundation. Verse 18, 8 and 18, Romans. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, I used to look at that after my husband and daughter died, and I'm thinking, God, you know I trust you. But that's one of the craziest verses I have ever seen in my life. Because it said that the things that I had been through, and you could think about the things you've been through, it says those things and what's going on there in North Carolina, he says, that's a mess. But it's not even worthy. It isn't even worthy to be compared with the glory that is coming. Listen, that glory must be magnificent, way beyond anything we can imagine. So the things we go through, not even worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. Look, for the earnest expectation of creation, that's the earth, it eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. So creation is saying, look, you guys have talked about God your whole life, ever since I've known you. You talk about God. You talk about how good he is.
You say he's the healer. You say he's this. You say he's that. And it says the earth is just wanting to see a manifestation of who he is. It earnestly awaits to see a manifestation of what you and I declare. And guess what? They will see it. And they will see it. It said it will be revealed in us. All right. Verse 20. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly. No, it didn't want all this mess. It didn't want all this hopelessness. The earth didn't want all that. It said it was subject to futility. That's what that means. It didn't volunteer for that, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Now, if you can see hope, it's not hope. We don't see it. So it's absolute hope that we have. Amen. Verse 21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Here's where I want to go. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. This is what's happening right now, folks. This is what's happening. The earth is literally groaning. She is groaning with these birth pangs, just like a woman getting ready to deliver. Adriana just delivered a baby, and most of you don't know this, but she came this close to death. Oh, it was a terrible thing that happened, but God was there and pulled her through it. But as scary as that incident was, the earth sees it. The earth is like, what? Even creation itself, it's an earth. And you say it has no mind of its own, but it says it's just, It says the earth is groaning. The things that happen in other nations, it's just one thing after another. But look what Paul said. Now, he's sitting in a prison writing this letter to us, and I'm glad he did. I'll read verse 22 again. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. And then Paul said, look at these next three words. They're pretty amazing. And then he says, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Paul said, my goodness, you think the earth is groaning? He said, not only that, but the disciples and me, the apostles, you think we're, oh no, we're groaning too. We're just eagerly awaiting to see this mighty outpouring, this great revival. And they saw it in the upper room. I'm going to jump out here and tell you that I believe we will see in these last hours, because of what I'm giving you right now, we will see a manifestation of something greater than the upper room. They said, we eagerly await it. We're groaning too. You know what's wrong with us? We're groaning too. And when I saw when Paul said, not only that, in my prayer, I said, Lord, not only that, but the church today, we're groaning too. We're groaning. We want to see more than we see. My Lord, we need to see miracles. That baby's going to walk. We declared it this morning. He'll be back in his right mind and his mind be healed. We're talking about notable miracles. That's what Paul said we're waiting on, and they literally saw it when after they got up in the upper room and the glory came down. Woo! It surpassed any suffering. Even with Jesus dying, it surpassed everything. And they saw it. And then Peter's just walking down the street, and if somebody walked through his shadow, they were totally delivered and healed. Can you believe that? I mean, totally. So if we're going to see something beyond the upper room, it's really a big, big deal. All right, you want to go a little farther? All right, after he says, we even ourselves, we groan too. Look at this, verse 34. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one hope for what he sees? I mean, you can't hope for something you see. You've already got that. But he said, that's still out there? You're still hoping for that. All right, look at verse 26. This is pretty amazing. Likewise, that means this too. The earth is groaning. Not only that, but the disciples and the followers of Jesus were groaning, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with what? Groanings, which can't be uttered. What? What? You mean to tell me that the Holy Spirit is groaning about all this too? He said, I'm not going to leave you out there to groan by yourself. The only difference is between the earth's groan and the disciples' groan and our groan is when the Holy Spirit groans, he's able, he has all the goods to do something about it. So he says, I will make utterances that nobody even knows what to do with it. Read on down, verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for who? He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It is the will of God. He told us in the last day there would be a big heresy. There'd be a great falling away. But also he said there'll be a great pouring out. A great falling away, a great pouring out. People's going to start coming in to find God. They were living out there doing their own thing and their own sin. But he says, no, there'll be a great, great pouring out. So, hallelujah. Be comforted that the Holy Spirit is groaning for us too. He's groaning for his church. He's groaning for the world. He wants to see peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Isn't that what the Bible said Jesus, the angel said when Jesus came to earth? Well, Jesus is getting ready to come back. So I'm just telling you, we are getting ready to take this big trip. And we must be preparing for the trip. That's the name of my message, Brother Isaiah, preparing for the trip. But I say today, how much more should we be preparing for this trip than we do just a vacation we go on? But can I run through that for a minute? And if you had the floor, you would probably say something else here. But just consider the way you prepare when you're going on a vacation. My kids went on a road trip last year, about 4,000 or 5,000 miles. And boy, they did everything to prepare. I mean, just to take a beach trip, you know. I'll make sure my car is serviced. Everything's taken care of there, just to make sure I don't want to break down. But the first thing you do, you've got to have a destination. Every now and then, you'll talk to maybe a senior couple, or just somebody that says, no, not just senior couples. I think you guys may have said, hey, we don't even know. We're just going to head out, and we're just going to do whatever we want and go where we want and stop where we want. So sometimes you do that. But if you're going to take a cruise, what do? You better make reservations, or you're not going to get on that boat. And if you're traveling to another state, you make usually reservations ahead so you know that when you get there to that city, there will be room for you in that hotel. So the first thing you do is make reservations. And then you, if it's me, you know, or many of us will put it in our GPS. Unless you're going to LA, don't do that. It'll take you down through all those highways. But you still got to get directions from someone that says stay on, you know, I-10 until you get to wherever you're going. So get directions for that road trip. And you got to prepare for the children. If the children are in the car with you or you're taking family members, you've got to prepare. You make sure they have all their things ready. You have some snacks in the car, or, you know, a little. We had a friend here one time with a CHP, and he always carried a little. They took me to the beach with them, And he says, oh, I always carry this little ice chest. And he had it backseated or in the floor. And in that ice chest, he always prepared for his little trips or large trip. And he always had waters and tea. He had his cold drinks in there for himself. So he had prepared even for a small trip. And then, you know, you got to get the car serviced. You got to get it cleaned up. Everybody washes their car before they leave. And then you got to get the oil changed, of course. Make sure that the oil is good. And then the funny thing is, you know, if you're going on a trip, they say, where are you going? You say, well, I don't know. But we're just going to go through it, okay? So we've just got to be ready. So I want to go back and just compare all that to where are you going? There's a destination for every one of us on this earth, not just sitting in this church. There's people sitting in churches all over the world, but we're talking about right now, where is your destination? Is it heaven? See, there's only two places. There's only heaven or hell. And we could just choose either one we want. The Bible says you can choose life or you can choose death, but choose life. He tells us which one to choose. So our destination is heaven. That's where we're going. You say, well, I need directions. Well, we've got it right here. I did a funeral the other day, and I told them that Jesus himself is the way. That's your direction. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And if you don't choose him, then you've got another life, and it's going to be full of all kinds of things. Now you say, well, you mean if I'm a Christian, I won't have any issues? No, you're going to have the same issues, but you got a different helper. You got someone with you. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll always be right there for you. And so when you gave your heart to Jesus, you made reservations for your spot, for this trip. And the church that I grew up in, there were songs all about the old gospel ship. The songs would talk about the old gospel ship. Or I'm going to take a trip on the good old gospel ship. It talked about the ship of Zion. Oh, I loved to hear those messages about the ship of Zion. And you better get on that ship. But the only way you can get on is have your reservations made. How many's made your reservation to go with Jesus when he comes? So that's how we made our reservation with him. So it doesn't matter. It's not like a cruise. It's not like that. It's not like a natural reservation. You and I made our reservation when we said, Jesus, I receive you as Lord. Come into my life. And Lord, lead me. You sent your Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me. That's what changes everything. And that's what gives us the direction that we take in this life. It'll bless your children. It'll bless your family. And it'll take you to places that you never dreamed that you could ever go. Now, I said earlier, when you're going on a trip, you consider, you got what, 5 children, Danny? So, and they take trips all the time. They've got teenagers, they got over teenagers, they got babies. I mean, they just got all of them. And they all go. And they'll fly together. And they do road trips together. And they camp together. Now, that's one, Brother Danny. You'll have to sit down and talk with me about that one. They camp together. And you know what else? They love it. They love it. All of them. Whether it's Arizona Balch Park or the beach, whatever they do, it's a wonderful family trip. But you know what? It just doesn't happen. You just don't say, well, we're going to take a trip tomorrow. No, Maria's got to prepare. You got to prepare. So they prepare all the vehicles. They prepare everything they're going to do. They get things ready for the kids. The older ones, they probably pack themselves. But you got to pack the clothes. Mama's got to get all the clothes washed. Got to get all the clothes cleaned. You got to prepare for the whole family. Now, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy, the Old Testament, speak these words to your children and your children's children. And you talk about him when you sit down to eat, and you talk about it when you go to bed. Well, I'm afraid I'll be Bible thumping. You better be afraid not to. And you better pay attention to what those children are doing. Well, they're, you know, he's 14. He can go in his own room, shut the door, and stand there 5 hours, and I never see him, but I don't have to worry about him. You better worry about him. You keep a watch. You say, well, I trust my babies. Do you trust the devil? You could trust your baby, but you don't want. The devil just wants to take anyone he can. He's not a respecter of persons. There was a sweet old farmer I may have told you about before. He's 80 years old. He lived down the street, owned about 40 acres. 80. He came to me shortly after computers were really getting popularity, long after, I think we were down here in this building. So he saw me outside and he says, hey, you're the pastor of this church, right? And I said, yes. He said, may I speak to you? We went into my office and he said, would you pray for my wife and I? Listen, to tell you that the devil, he don't care who you are, how old you are, how sick you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, educated or not. He just does not care. The old man said, you know, my wife is wanting to divorce me. And I said, what? Why is she wanting to divorce you? He said, Pastor, I don't know. He said, she just goes in her bedroom. She shuts the door and locks it, won't let me in. And he said, she's in there. I found out, my daughter told me, that she's in the chat room chatting with other men. She chats and chats. Well, she must have found her a chap because she don't want him anymore. So they were getting a divorce at 80-something years old. She was older than him. Do you think the devil, do you think you could trust him with your children? You can't trust him with your wife, with your husband. So that's why I'm saying you better pray this thing through and put the blood of Jesus over your family, over your sons, over your daughters, over your husbands, your wives, because you have no idea how the devil can just move in and take things and just sort things out and mess it all up. But God said, prepare the babies when they're young. This is why out there at the kids' world right now, I tell those teachers in every teacher's meeting, you guys, get worship into those kids. Get the word into them, because then you will prepare them for the teenage years, because they'll have teenagers that go in here to the youth department and they can't even raise their hands and worship the Lord. If you teach them while they're out there, then they'll know how to do that here. If you don't teach them out there, they won't know how to do it when we get in here. So you got to prepare, just like you're, oh, we're going on a trip, church. We're going on a major vacation, and it's not, you know, it's permanent. It's a big deal. It's forever. It's not just going to Pismo. It's not going to Paris. It's not the Mediterranean cruise. Oh, no, this one's much, much bigger and greater. You're talking about one preacher came through here one time, and they had two beautiful teenage girls, and he said to me, he was tired, and he says, you know, I don't know if he was hinting or what, but I said, Bubba, you're hinting to the wrong woman here. He says, I'll tell you what we need. I said, and I loved him so much. I said, what do you need? And he said, I'll tell you what we need. We need some church to put us up into a resort for about a year. That's what I did. Duh! Who wouldn't want to go to resort for a year? Well, I don't know if I'd like to go for a year, because I took a four-day cruise and I went stir crazy. I was ready to get off. But they don't let me out much. But I'm just saying, this is more than a resort. I mean, this is a forever resort. Oh, my goodness. A resort's not even a name for you and I where we're headed. Give me just another couple of minutes. Okay, I'll hurry here. But make sure that your clothes, you got the right clothes on. You know, the Bible said, Jesus said, oh, there's going to be a wedding. But he said, you've got to make sure that you wear the right raiment. You have to have your wedding clothes on to come here. You have to have the right wedding clothes. What would that be? The righteousness of God. And when Jesus died, he took our sin and he gave us his righteousness. remember that you are his righteousness. So we are clothed in his glory. And make sure you talk to your children about them being the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. So pack everything that you need. When I say pack, I mean get this word into you. Get this word in your heart. You have a prayer life. Talk to God. Make sure you know the Holy Spirit will pray through you. I mean, you could just pack up. We used to sing this old song growing up in the Pentecostal church. And one of my pastors made them quit singing it. They would sing, I think Nancy Harmon wrote it, "I'm packed up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus." And the pastor said, "You're not tangled up in anything. Now you quit singing that." Well, we're packed up and we're in Jesus. Amen. So I said, get your car serviced, get the oil changed. Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, the vehicle is us. Jesus is the vehicle. But look at Matthew. Look at Matthew 25. I'm closing here. But look at Matthew 25, please. Say, can you verify that? You know I can. Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven. Where are we going? Somebody said, oh, what is your destination? Heaven. Heaven for 7 years. How long will your vacation be? Oh, 7 years in heaven. And then we're coming back. All right. And then there'll be 1,000 years of something else here on this earth. But then there'll be the new heavens and earth. That's for another day. And that'll be eternity. That's infinity. That's forever. And then the kingdom of what? Heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish, they took their lamps, but they had no oil in them. They had no anointing. They had no salvation. They had no glory. They had no Jesus. Now, I'm spiritually speaking there, but literally here, these ladies had no oil in their lamps. It says they were foolish. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. Well, that'd be like taking off to your trip and you have no gas in the car. Or you have no oil in the car. That would be a foolish person. Very foolish. But here it says, while the bridegroom slumbered, they thought he was slack concerning his promise. He didn't come when they thought. So they just went out and started playing around. Now, church, there is absolutely no time left for us to play. Amen? There have been many, many years behind us. And we've all played. But this is not the hour. This is not the time to play. Because we're getting ready to take off on this trip. It could be any time. So get that oil changed. Get fresh oil. You're here today to pick it up. Take oil out of this message. Suck all the oil you can out of the Holy Spirit and out of Jesus. He'll give it to you. And then the funny thing is, they ask you, when? Listen. The funny thing is they can ask you, what if they ask you on a regular trip? You're getting ready to go. And they say to you, oh, when are you going? And you're like, I don't know. Wait, you're going on this trip. You've got the car packed. You've got the kids ready. You got a destination, but you don't know when? I said, when are you going? Well, I don't know. Well, go ask your husband. What does he say? He don't know either. Well, go ask somebody. No, nobody knows. No, but then how do you know you're going? A little childhood song said, because the Bible tells me so. He don't know either. All right, look at Matthew 24:3. Matthew 24:3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, and they said, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. Jesus said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. All right, go up to verse 32. Go to verse 33. So you also, when you see all these things, know that the time is near. He said, oh, you'll know when the time is ready. You'll know when I'm getting ready to come back. You'll see wars and rumors of wars. We've never lived in a time where there's been more wars and rumors of wars. Jesus said, this generation that saw Israel become a nation in 1948, it won't pass until you see the coming of the Lord. And then he says, this generation will see all these earthquakes and hurricanes and all this. We're also seeing all that. So he said, just make sure that you look and you will see all these things begin to come to pass. Look at verse 36. Well, give me 34 because that will verify what I just said. Verse 34, surely I say to you, this generation, which one? This one. Will by no means pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words won't. All right, verse 36. But of that day that he's coming back, of that day and that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven. My Father's the only one that knows. That's it. Now, the world thinks that's absolutely crazy because no one knows. Jesus doesn't even know. Okay, and then he says, well, I tend to give you this in verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. All right, let's go on down to verse 44. Look, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming when? In an hour that you don't expect. Or the old King James says, in an hour that you think not. So you just don't know when he's coming. But be ready. Get your car packed. Get your righteousness on. You've got the destination. Choose life. All right. Look at verse 13. Watch therefore. Look at verse 25, 13. Chapter 25, 13. Watch therefore, for you know. For you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So we don't even know what time, what hour. We don't know what day. We don't know what month. We don't know what year. No one knows. But you say, well, I'm just going to watch and pray. And then the person, your friend, says, but what are you watching for? And you just say, the signs. They're all around us. Hey, you can stop at the grocery store. I was at Save Mart the other day, and I heard the man and woman talking about, do you think that this might be the end of the world? They're all thinking about it, see? That the Holy Spirit is causing them to know that. All right? So we'll stop there, but we got to make sure we're ready. Our signs are, they say, how long do you get to stay? Well, we're going to stay 7 years. So we know that, and then we'll return with him. And then I close with this. Please put this up. I got two verses I want to read to you before closing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. They say, do you know who's going with you? No, not really. I think I know we're going with the church, the body of Christ, and we're going with Jesus. But we don't really know who all's going to be in that. But we know it's the true body of Christ that's going. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, brethren, Paul speaking again, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together of him, we ask you not to soon be shaken in mind or troubled, either by the Spirit or by the word or by the letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Leave it up, Kathy. Leave it up. Look, he says, brethren, concerning his coming and our gathering together. Look at that, our gathering together. Where is that at? Yeah. Our gathering together to him. The second coming, the rapture. Gathering means rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but gathering is caught up. To get caught up is in the word that means rapture in the Greek. So we're going to gather together. He says, I will gather in my sheep, not the goats. The goats will be separated. They're out there. But he said, the sheep will go and they will gather to me. So who are we going with? Jesus. Who are we going to see? Jesus and our loved ones. That's who we're going to be with. Amen. And so he said, now don't soon be shaken. Go to the rest of that. Don't you be shaken or troubled by what other people out there tell you. Maybe even other people in the church. A lot of people don't believe in the rapture anymore. Well, that's okay. There's over 1,800 references to it from the Old Testament to the New. So we know that we're going to be raptured out of here. So prepare yourself, stay on ready, be ready to go. One last verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. How's it going to happen? Just like this. Just like what you're about to read, this is how it's going to happen. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend, come down, from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Look at this. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be what? Caught up. Raptured. We'll be caught up together with them. With them who? The saints and Jesus. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And then Paul told his apostles and preachers and teachers, evangelists, he said, comfort them with these words. So I comfort you this morning with these words that we're getting ready to take a trip. And Jesus himself, stand with me today. He's going to come and pick us up. He's going to take us out of this mess. He said, well, do you think we'll go through the entire tribulation period or half of it? No, none of it. Revelation 3:10 will tell us, no, I'm not going to put you through that wrath. You're going to escape that horrible day. No, we can give you many references to that. Before the Antichrist is revealed, we will be caught up and be gone. But folks, you've got to be on ready. You've got to be ready. You've got to be packed up, tied up, in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this word today. We believe that you're coming. Lord, I don't care what others say. It doesn't bother me what they say. It only bothers me about what your word says. And if your word has given us warning, and it's told us to evacuate the world, we'd better evacuate the world. We'd better get out of it, or there'll be no place for us to sleep. Lay our heads in peace. It will be total havoc and totally tore up. This is just, Lord, a little snapshot shop. This will be like sitting in a church pew, what's happening down there in North Carolina, compared to the tribulation period. You do not want to miss heaven. You don't want to miss this rapture. You don't want to miss going up with him, because you've never, the Bible says, there's never been a time like it before or now or after. There will never be a time like the tribulation period. So, Lord, we offer up ourselves to you today. Thank you for this word. I thank you for what you've done in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds, and in our spirits. Thank you for being such a mighty God. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, turn his countenance toward you, and give you the peace of God that passes understanding in your heart, mind, soul, business, and all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.